This episode contains reference to childhood sexual abuse, suicide, and other heavy topics.
It's important that I spell your last name severely wrong, though.
Yeah, that is. It's like, earlier I was working on something on web checkout, and it was a collapsible circular reflector, and it was spelled collapsible, spelled with the B and P switched, so collapsible, and then circular, spelled where all three of the vowels were U's, and then reflector, spelled where all three of the vowels were E's.
Wow.
Collapsible, circular, reflector.
Reflector!
Well, I just went to clodone.substack.
Wait, did you hear her?
All right, welcome back to the Phenomena Podcast. My name is Gus.
My name is Eva.
And this is part two of our episode about Teal Swan. And we have a really special guest here in the studio with us today.
Hi, my name's Claudia.
Do you want to do that one more time? Your voice cracked.
Hi, my name is Claudia.
Claudia, would you tell us a little bit about your research background and why we're having you on today?
Yeah, so as part of my post-baccalaureate fellowship project at Barnard College in the media center there, I did a short film about psychic fraud, which really dove into this one particular psychic fraud case in which a woman lost hundreds of thousands of dollars to a pair of psychics, one in particular who had defrauded a total of six individuals with her husband. In the process of making that short doc, I also was able to look more into the psychic scene in the New York City area, who goes to psychics, what the psychic scene is really all about here.
Yeah, the three of us memorably experienced the psychic scene together.
Oh,
one
yeah,
night.
That's true. We went away. Yes. It was really fun. It was really,
really
interesting.
Fun. It's a really cool project.
So just a quick refresh on who Teal Swan is. Obviously, you and I looked at videos of her together, actually, today. But she's like a self-help guru / motivational speaker / spiritual lifestyle influencer / person with magical powers who can cure your depression, cancer, autism, liver failure, really just anything you can think of, as long as you go to her retreat center, which you've been to a few really sketchy retreat centers. Let's try this one on for size. This one's called Philia, Philia.
Interesting.
It's like almost Bjork album title level.
It's like so nasty. It's disgusting.
Wild.
Yeah, and then she's also very popular on Instagram and offers offers her advice on traditional gender roles. She's pro traditional gender roles.
Really? That's surprising.
Yeah. Oh, cryptocurrency, yeah. Personal finance, like really Hydra with many heads.
She has videos where she's like, one of the things that women do wrong in modern dating, and feminists, you're not going to want to hear this, is that they treat men like they're the wrong kind of car. If your man is a sports car, he's not going to behave like a minivan. Just like wild.
Wow. Horrifying.
Horrifying.
Completely.
Haunting.
Yeah, so all of this through this like new age lens, I think very in a similar manner to some of the things that I have seen you research. So I just wanted to ask, can you tell us a little bit about like the people that you've met who commonly are seeking the services of psychics and maybe specifically healers in the psychic and spiritual world?
Yeah, so I met a lot of people who have gone to psychics and also met a lot of psychics, so I know a little bit about, you know, why people go into providing psychic services and also why they might go to get them. And mm-hmm. It often isn't, like, too far apart, I guess. And let me rephrase that. But, like, I guess the people who I met who go to psychics typically are going through a hard time. Maybe they're having relationship issues is probably the most common. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. that could be because maybe that is the majority, or that's just the people who felt comfortable telling me. Because
yeah.
There are a lot of people who go because of chronic illness, for example, mm-hmm. which was the main case in my short doc, where the woman mm-hmm. had ALS. And so I don't want to like say like what the actual breakdown was, just because people might be a little bit more private about that, and that's why they might be going to see psychics, for example. But there also is a considerable amount of people who are just going to psychics because it's fun, interesting. People like to talk about themselves, hear about themselves, stuff like that.
Interesting. Okay, awesome. That's like really helpful. Do you think that there, how do you see the draw of Teal Swan's internet presence in that world? Because I know you found some of the events online and you connected with some people over like Facebook events, Eventbrite, and things like that. I'm just curious what you think the digital element and the social media element is for finding psychic care.
Definitely. So when you were talking about curing diseases, that automatically I thought, well, of course, because if you're having a disease that you, there's just literally no way of curing it or knowing when it can be cured, like ALS, for example, there's no known cure. Liver disease is obviously like a pretty tough one that like the likelihood of like a good outcome is often pretty small. People will look for solutions anywhere. As far as relationship advice, gender norms, a lot of the women I talk to, almost exclusively straight women who were having issues in relationships with men. And that might have just been sample size of me talking to a lot of women in Long Island. However,
huge shout out Long Island, friend of the pod, Long Island. Yeah.
But I mean, people who go through really bad breakups are like very distraught, and sometimes the only way they can feel better is if there's somebody who can confirm what they believe. And usually that's that a man just isn't the sports car, you know?
No, it's true.
And Teal Swan has said in interviews that she will put tags on her videos such as, I don't know what to do. I have nothing left. My life is ruined. Like these very intense sort of tags that I think are seeking people who have terminal illnesses, whether that's psychological or physical or really serious turmoil, like relationship turmoil or something like that, because she wants people who are YouTube or Google searching, what do? I have nothing left, and things like that, which is pretty intense choice, but she has complete faith in herself. That's one of the hallmarks of Teal's work.
Yeah, she believes that she doesn't make mistakes, and she says that often. She's like, I don't make mistakes in this kind of work. So,
well, why would you want to go to somebody who was kind of rocky about that sort of thing, you know? Like, if you're at the end of your rope, you want to go to somebody who's super confident.
Well, can we return for a second to what you said about people who experience illness that's not curable in a way that is like obvious to them? Because I feel like one of the things about Teal's story that's interesting to me is that she thinks that issues like depression, bipolar disorder, suicidality, that kind of ailment, that what she calls like Western medicine is not able to treat it accurately or appropriately, and that they try and treat it as something that needs to be cured, and she instead offers an open-ended treatment plan in which a cure is not only not the goal but not possible, and that instead of treating those things as needing to be cured, she treats them as like, actually, you just need to go deeper into yourself and understand how you're feeling and thinking and stop thinking of it as a problem with you, and instead think of it as like a thing about the world that you haven't integrated into your being yet. And so my question for you is, do you feel like the people you talk to who were looking for psychics for those things were looking for a different answer to the same question? Or did you ever experience people looking to open up their understanding of the world? Like, what was your encounter with that?
The word that I did hear a lot was closure. People just want, I think that you were already saying this, Gus, but like people want an answer. And I think that a sort of alluring part of going to a psychic is that if you keep going to them, then the result will be positive. You know, like, you might go and they'll be like, you have a dark cloud over your head. You have, like, really bad energy right now. But if you do this, there's an answer that is positive. You just need to do what I'm going to tell you to do in order to achieve this positive outcome. Which, if you've been told that there's no positive outcome for this, and then there's one person who's very confident that they will be able to give you a positive outcome, then that can be really comforting for some people.
Interesting. The other thing about Teal Swan that I think is really striking, in addition to her digital presence, is her events. Like, she speaks on stage and usually in sort of a faux interview style, so almost like how we're sitting right now, which of course everyone listening to this can't tell because this is an audio experience, so you know exactly how we're sitting. And she delivers these sort of motivational speeches while sitting in, like, this chair at an angle, and it's filmed in a way that makes it look like she's, like, answering someone who's slightly off camera.
Yeah.
She is not.
Yeah.
She's simply just lecturing. Yeah. And occasionally she has, like, a foil who's asking her setup questions. But she has these massive, massive events, and she claims at these events that she is able to be healing people who are in the audience. And from stage, from being on stage and telling people to imagine that they've killed themselves, mostly, but among other things, I know, Claudia's made a face, among other things. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about some of the psychic or, like, adjacent new age spiritual events that you've been to, and the people that you've met there, or just sort of the ambiance, like a little bit of a description, like if you could put our listeners there, because I think it's difficult to understand what it's like to be in an event of that size that's about something that's so personal, but there's so many people there, so it's very public, but it's very private. Just talk a little bit about those types of events.
Yeah, so I've been to events where there's one psychic who will just either call on people in the room or just, like, go around to each person and have a very public reading in front of the whole room. And usually, in my experience, that was often like, well, you have, I'm sensing this ailment, you need to get whatever, this surgery or something. I'm sensing this person who passed away, did you lose a grandmother or something? And it's like somebody who's, like, quite old. So it's probably do have a dead grandmother.
It's like,
at that
I'm
point
someone whose name has an S, and yeah, it's like, well, yeah, probably
you are gonna die on a day that ends in Y.
And sometimes it can be very intimate, like it's very much like she's trying to connect with that person even though it's in front of a very wide audience, but you know, you get a lot of oohs and ahs from everybody else when you hear somebody, you hear the psychic be like, are you work in the medical field and it's a nurse or something. It's like, whoa. That's what a lot of people would react. And then I've also been to events where you get a one-on-one reading privately at either a different table or at expos where you could sign up for a private reading. And those were a little bit different just because they were a little bit more obvious about wanting you to come back.
Okay. Speak about that.
So it would be like they usually, like, gently walk into it, you know? So they might start with, I mean, I'm a young woman of 23 years old, and so they would at first just be like, wow, you probably have met a man, but he's not the one, or something like that. And so,
I
heard that.
This, like,
I heard that.
You probably
so
have met a man, like, no, statistically.
Wait, Ruby, literally, censor, it's like you probably boyfriend's name.
It's like you probably have had some sort of romantic encounter at some point by the time you're 23, right. But they're not the one, apparently.
Right.
But
that's awesome.
But then it usually, like, starts somewhere around there. And then you'll go through, she'll usually it's a woman I've rarely seen. I've rarely encountered dude psychics, even though that definitely is a thing.
Dude psychic.
Male.
Dude psychic.
Or
bounty hunter.
But eventually they'll ask, you know, if somebody in your life has passed away, mm-hmm. or if I've had any financial troubles, you know, they kind of do prod more for issues in your life, in your lives, you know, in your life. And that's when it starts to be more like, well, if you want to come back, like, here's a service I can provide. Like, I personally, I have epilepsy. And so, like, sometimes if they're like, you know, is there anything you want to talk about? Sometimes I would bring up, just for the sake of conversation, I'd bring up, you know, oh, well, I do have epilepsy, like, see what that kind of response is. And, you know, they might have healing tools for me to focus my energy over or pray over.
If you start to have a seizure, here's what you should think about.
This triangle that I've drawn.
S-E-I-Z-E.
Oh, my God.
See everything, internalized zoning energy. I don't even know if that's
so funny.
No, it is.
Is Ivor E except most of the time?
Actually, I have no idea. Never mind. I don't know if the I or
listeners, if you're at home, please comment below the correct spelling of the word C's. yeah, go on.
But yeah, so that was pretty much the majority of my experience.
That's so interesting to hear you talk about the way that they want to draw people back in, because Teal also wants to draw people back in, and we talked about that a lot in the first half of this episode, and or the first episode before this episode. It's interesting that the way that they get you to want to come back, or the way that they're sort of accessing people's pain in that moment, is talking about someone near you who's recently died, or a surgery that you might need to go get, because that does feel very different from Teal, who is more likely to talk to you about someone that you know who's still alive, who she's telling you has caused you a great amount of harm, and you haven't processed or handled it or remembered it yet. And that's why you need to come to Costa Rica and have another person who is also completely destitute and debilitated emotionally role play as your sadness.
It seems almost more like the psychics that you talk to want to be like a combination medical professional and friend versus combination therapist and life coach.
Yeah, it does seem more like the power dynamic is expressed differently.
Very differently.
Like, these psychics sound more like someone who is in almost like a service position, where it's like they're diagnostic, they're recommending, they are offering tools, things like that, whereas the side of it that makes her more in the vein of these like self-help gurus is like, this is a person who has all the answers. They're up here and you're down here. They're nothing like a nurse or a teacher or anything like that. They're like a god or like a politician.
I also think it's different, and Claudia, I would like to hear your thoughts on this. I feel like it's different to physically go to a location to get a third or fourth opinion than it is to look up online, I think, I'm at the end.
Yeah.
It seems like there's a different, in my experience as somebody who grew up on like a lot online, a very different level of despair that you can express openly on the internet, as opposed to face-to-face with someone you've just met. No matter how much you may want to express that, it just seems like most people have so much of a barrier up, as opposed to on the internet, where you can really just be like, I don't know, I feel like this might be it for me.
Well, I do first want to say also that my personal experience with psychics that I was talking about, it might not seem like there's like that power dynamic, just because I wasn't going to them at the end of my rope too. If I was going to them, like, I don't think I've met the right person, like, what do I do? Then like there might be a slightly different power dynamic, but because I was going there in like a purely like research / friendly sort of capacity, then it probably is a little bit different than it typically is. But that's
it feels different. That's a good point.
Yeah, so that's just what I would add. And I do agree that, you know, going to see a psychic feels a little different, especially if you're doing a public, you know, reading in front of a lot of people. You're not going to be, like, spilling your deepest, darkest secrets typically. I feel like it takes a specific kind of person to do that. It's not anything I've ever seen. But I mean, there were people who would like tear up, but it was typically like if they were talking about a dead grandmother, and that's not something that's like always super intimate to somebody to like talk about how they miss their grandmother that they were close to. I mean, if you think about like people who you like, you know, acquaintances you talk to versus like Reddit posts online, like you see a completely different side of a person.
And it's interesting because I almost feel like listening to you, and I'm kind of working this out as I say it, but I feel like the in-person psychics kind of inherit a different legacy of sort of like what we call like what we might think of as magic power practice.
Yeah.
Where they're inheriting
psychic performance.
Psychic performance, like a Victorian tradition of like talking to the dead, helping cure magical ailments, speaking to people. Like the concern is very much with mortality.
Yeah.
Like extremely concerned with mortality and the fear of mortality and the fear of death. And it's way more in that vein. It's almost more like 18th century. Obviously, it's contemporary and modern, but just in terms of if you've listened to our back catalog of episodes, like we talk about Victorian ghosts and hauntings, things of that nature. Those were really the big concerns of psychics at the time. And I feel like someone like Teal, who's very much a digital performance artist more so, and then brings people into this real life space if they are vulnerable enough to be extracted from the internet and desperate enough, inherits more of a tradition of, say, like fraud psychology or like a kind of like mental health quackery sanatorium type vibe.
totally. I was also thinking about, this is completely different, I think that's really interesting, but I was also thinking when you said that, you were talking about the events you've been to, and I'm thinking about the internet versus like events at like Philia, her compound. I think about like we're seeing a really high level of commitment on opposite ends of sort of the bell curve of like monetary and physical buy-in.
Yeah.
So like people who are at a mid-level buy-in, so an expo that might have cost $25 to $80 to go to, are not experiencing as high of an emotional commitment, which isn't to say that's their fault, just like they're not exhibiting as much raw emotional access as the people who are at a $0 buy-in online, though again that's very impersonal, which is different, and people who are at a tens of thousands of dollars buy-in, which is when you are living your whole life to follow this person around physically in the world, to work for her, to do her social media, to every single day work on the completion process, like that sort of thing. That's like another really, I don't know that that will hold up statistically at all, but it's what it made me think of.
Well, it's interesting because, Claudia, I remember from your doc, and I don't know how much you want to talk about it because it's not out yet and I don't want to give everything away, but I remember from your doc that part of what was the thread that you were tracing was that there were some people who were extremely vulnerable and who were able to be extracted by certain psychics, pulled out of their communities, isolated, and a lot of parted from significant amounts of funds. What do you think about what that process looks like in real life? Like, what was your experience? Because I know you like have been to places where that was happening.
Yeah. So for the woman who had ALS, she had kind of a similar experience where she was sort of drawn in. You could even look at court documents that shows the specific times when there were wire transfers of these money. And it's not infrequent. And based off the conversations I had with her husband, because she did pass away while she was still seeing these psychics, her husband told me that she had sort of been convinced into believing that their marriage was part of the issue, and that's
interesting,
and it led to eventually their divorce, and he continued to care for her because she still needed a caretaker. Her father had like cut her off because like she was asking for money because she was spending tens of thousands, and then not long after, hundreds of thousands of dollars on psychic cleansing, I guess, if you will. And so that was a pretty significant part of her story, particularly. And it wasn't super unlike any of the other people who were being scammed by that psychic.
Yeah. It's interesting because, well, first of all, it's just fucking interesting. But it's also like this recommitment, like the repeated transfers, the repeated completion mm-hmm. process with Teal Swan, which is named so poorly because you have to do it like every single day forever and like never feel better. And sort of the way that psychic and energy healers and spiritual healers can access so much through this profession of sort of like spiritual or psychic interconnectedness, because once you've convinced someone that their spiritual well-being has everything to do with their everything else well-being, then you as a spiritual expert are an expert on all of their well-being. You're an mm-hmm. expert on their financial well-being. You're an expert on their relationships and their emotional well-being. You're an expert on their physical well-being. And I do think that in the last 20, 30 years, in a very real and also experienced sense, people have learned a lot more about how interconnected different facets of your life and your well-being are. And that's legit. It's just a question of like, where are we finding the boundaries of that, and how are we considering someone to be qualified enough to comment on other like pieces of that puzzle that nobody has figured out?
And to add to that, I think that the nature of the internet, to bring it back, mm-hmm. really collapses the inside and the outside, the personal and the private,
totally
the mm-hmm. you know, the masculine and the feminine, like whatever right. it is that you want to collapse, you can smash everything up against itself on the internet. Right. You can have one tab open that's the most disturbing porn you've ever seen, another that's a recipe video, and another right. that's like an email from your boss, and those things are not in conflict with each other.
Yeah.
They're the same amount of bandwidth, except maybe the video, but anyway.
Yeah, it's all at the same time.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Everything all the time.
Yes.
And I think that to bring those things together in that kind of open-ended way is not... like spiritual practice as a manipulative tool, it makes sense that you could feed that to people through the internet
uh-huh.
because you can smuggle it in under other stuff. We talked in our previous episode or the first half of this episode, depending, about how there's this innocuous layer to the first level of Teal Swan's performance on the internet, and then the deeper right. you get, the more it becomes like, no, this woman thinks that she's psychic and she thinks that she's the most powerful person in the world, and everyone who follows her is following like essentially a god.
Yeah.
But at the first level, you're like, oh my god, a meme about Carrie Fisher, I need to follow your artistic dreams, that's cool.
Yeah she thinks that her mind can alter the dimensions of the world, among other things.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, listen, if it's real, we're doomed.
But yeah, we're putting a real target on our backs.
Well, I don't who knows, I have no idea where she stands on like haters. Actually,
she talks about her haters.
Yeah,
I listened to a really mm-hmm. interesting interview with her where she was like,
oh, go on,
she was like, she specifically refers to them as haters.
Yeah.
And she's like, they are people who hate me and who believe that what I'm doing is dangerous and that my children should be taken from me and that I need, or my child, she has one kid, and that like I need to be destroyed and stopped because what I'm doing is dangerous. But I think that they basically just fundamentally don't agree with what I'm doing.
Right.
And that it's just a difference of opinion.
Right.
But she does directly address the haters.
Interesting. I've also heard her say things about haters that are people who like are former partners of those who are in her like teal tribe, and et cetera, et cetera. So on the relationship advice aspect, I will say that she's on her fourth husband, mm-hmm. which doesn't mean that she doesn't know what she's talking about, but it doesn't make me want to take her advice.
Well, who could handle her?
No, really, who could handle her? That's actually true. That
who could
not
literally,
be
who could handle her?
Oh yeah, if you're
I
just
could
like,
not.
It's like, I'm right and I can see everything. And you're like, oh shit.
She's like, why can't you get it up? I can see through you. It's because of something that happened in your past. And you're like, I'm drunk.
In your 19th chakra, your dick is hard.
Exactly. It's like, please release that.
Please release the childhood trauma that causes... Okay, but... welcome back to the Phenomena Podcast, huh?
Missed you guys.
Is there anything else that... Any... final thoughts that you want to offer about like medical intuitives or, you know, your experience and research with psychics and things like that, or the internet and how it solves, air quotes, solves problems for people?
Yeah, I think that one thing that I would add is that when I was, you know, looking at that one particular case where hundreds of thousands of dollars were involved, it wasn't ever a matter of proving or disproving whether or not psychics were real or mm-hmm. not real. But when you look at people who are committing psychic fraud, it's not just that they aren't psychics or not. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that what they're doing is fraud, and you can right. see in their actions, either monetarily, emotional manipulation, emotional abuse, that it's fraud. And whether or not they have powers is not as relevant as the fact that they're extracting money and manipulating people.
Big facts.
Yeah, big facts.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for being here, Claudia. I hope you will all continue to follow her very excellent work. I recently helped her on a shoot that I can't tell you about because I signed an NDA. No, I didn't. But I just don't want to spoil her research for her next documentary, but I'm super excited about it.
Yeah.
My name is Eva.
My name is Gus.
My name is Claudia.
And this was the Phenomena Podcast.
Bye.
Yay.
This has been the Phenomena Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. The Phenomena Podcast with Augusta Chapman is hosted by Augusta Chapman and Eva Quenby Johnson. You can find other work by Gus at gupdate.substack.com. Our guest today was Claudia Gaughan. You can find more of her work at claudiagaughan.substack.com, as well as regular publishings on Seaville Weekly.
Thank you to our editor, Ruby Mastrodemos. You can check out more of her work at _r_Mastrodemos on Instagram.